on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday edition, November 18th of InvestTalk. And today I have with me again a real pleasure. Was it 3 days in a row?
Three days.
Yeah. 3 days.
Yeah. I've done the show more this week than you.
Yeah, you have. So great, great to have you here. Now, do you guys get allowance out there when you were a kid? Did you get an allowance? Well, I didn't, but that's okay. Did you get an allowance?
Didn't your brother steal your allowance or stole all your money?
He stole money. That's one of the reasons why I moved out when I was 16. But that's a whole other story. anyway, some people is a complete, you know, but you figured out spending money was, you know, how much money did you spend on what? And was a complete waste on what you bought.
And okay. Usually that's the case, especially for kids. And even young adults.
Yeah, you're still doing it?
Yeah.
That's what I was going to ask. Are you still doing it? Look at the lines at Black Friday.
Yeah.
What are those people thinking?
Yeah.
That it's not available? It's not going to be available on Monday?
Well, they think they're getting a deal, but usually you're spending money on stuff that, yeah, it's a deal, but are you really going to use it? Do you need it? If not, you're wasting your money. And it harkens back to me when I was just getting out of college and my friends, and I knew one that if he had any money left over after paying all his bills, you know, after getting his paycheck, he had to figure out what to go spend it on. It's something. Even if he didn't really need it, it's just, oh, I think it'd be cool to have this, and you just go buy it just because he had an extra few dollars in his pocket.
So the big point here is quit wasting money. And many people spend money they don't have. Mm-hmm. They use credit cards. There are enough free credit cards out there that you shouldn't even be paying any annual fees, are you? You shouldn't be. There's millions of them out there. Rewards. Do you get money back? I had American Express for years and years and years. And then when Costco offered 3% off for a new American Express, I threw that old American Express card away and got the new one. 3% money, free, back, in the form of a check. Every 6 months. You got to pay attention to this. I know there's a lot of people out there that don't pay attention to, you can save money doing different things.
And it's not just a lot of times one-time events.
No.
It's, you can do it year after year after year. Like you said, the Costco card. I've had the same Costco card for going on a decade now almost probably. So, yeah. And I get checks probably average of $500 a year just by
Just by shopping at a store. And not only at Costco, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And no matter what you buy. Yeah. And of course, now that America's Express card is going away and Costco's got to deal with Visa or MasterCard.
Yeah, I think it's Capital One is.
Yeah. So that Costco card, my America's Express card, goodbye. I mean, if you can save money, you need to. And that's kind of what we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about that at some point during this hour. And I want to remind you, everybody, you asked for it. Our webinar is this evening. You asked for the topic. Several times each year, we produce live webinars that allows us to focus on the particular topic. And this time, we let you pick that topic. So it's tonight from 6:30 to 7:30, Justin?
Yep, 6:30 to 7:30.
6:30 to 7:30. You still can sign up by going to investtalk.com. And a little warning, there's a limited number of slots, believe it or not, there is.
There is. So if you're going to attend,
don't be late.
Log in a little early.
Yeah. And what we're going to talk about, the building blocks. We'll detail diversification, fundamentals, stability, longevity, dividends, low betas, high debt, risk analysis. We're going to talk all about those things. Managing the risk in a portfolio, how to find what kind of metrics do you need to find good dividend paying stocks, what to watch out for, what to find, that kind of stuff. How to build a good, solid dividend paying portfolio or a growth portfolio. So that's what we're going to talk about. We have plenty of time for you to ask questions. Hopefully, again, it's free. It starts at 6:30 Pacific time. All you need to do is sign up and to get to the link. You can do that on our homepage at investtalk.com, but you got to do it. There's a limit. You know, there's a limit. Our goal is to get you with the information you need one way or another. We want to get it to you. So let's hear from you at 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime number.
Hey, Steve, this is Jack calling from Upstate New York. I've got a question about cash, keeping cash in my brokerage account. I look at the cash that's getting zero. I get nothing every month on my statement. Why don't I take that money and put it into like a safe municipal bond fund, like an ETF? InGuard has a good municipal bond invest in New York State. I don't have to pay any state income tax, no federal tax, and it's getting about 3% a year. There seems to be no risk in that. So instead of getting zero, why don't I put some money in a municipal bond fund, ETF with low expense ratio? What's the downside risk of that? And if there is, could I just put a stop limit on it and sell it if it drops to a certain, if the net asset value drops? So what's the downside risk of putting my cash in a tax-free municipal bond fund with low expense ratio? Thanks. Appreciate your show.
Now,
I'll look forward to the answer. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. He makes perfect sense in one way. Yeah, there's very limited risk to the valuation of those bonds inside that portfolio, and they will pay a dividend yield. There is no risk there. Where the risks come from, Justin, where does the risk come from?
Well, risk comes from if there is a deterioration in the municipal bond market, either because of increasing defaults, which, over the years has been,
Pretty low.
fairly low, but also if interest rates rise,
There's the big risk.
there will be a decline in
Net asset
in the
value.
net asset value. So now he did say he'd put some sort of a stop limit, and there's nothing wrong with that, but if you're reaching for, say right now, say you're going to get 3% yield on this ETF, which in cash or money market, you're getting almost nothing.
Right.
What type of volatility are you willing to take? Is 3%? These things can move 3%. Now, I wouldn't say easily, but they certainly can. And so maybe that's what you're going to risk, 3% for a downside or 3% upside. I wouldn't risk any more than that.
Yeah, so the risk is that the NSF value will drop 3% or more, and then now you're losing money. Okay, because it's only paying you 2, 2.5, 3% in dividend yield. See, that's the main risk. And why would it go down in value? Because interest rates go up.
And
That's the main reason.
that certainly can happen. I mean, you should look at MUNI, which is the PIMCO Municipal Bond Fund intermediate term. That was at about 55 a share back at the beginning of the year. And during the big crisis, in August, right?
Yeah.
It went down about $52. Now, that doesn't seem like a lot, but for a bond fund and a muni bond fund, that's over 3%
Yeah.
Change. So you certainly have downside risks. Probably not major, but you have some downside risks. So I don't hate the strategy, but you have to understand that risks that are involved.
Yeah. Very good question, though. Appreciate it. So I hope that was not too complex as
Yeah.
far as how that works, but that's your risk. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We'll all lose money unnecessarily. Do you know when and how? Leaving money on the table. How to stop wasting cash. That's one of our talking points today. I also want to talk about the housing starts briefly. The housing starts report that came out for October. Was it good? Was it bad? We'll discuss that. And I also, the bullish argument for gold. You know how gold has been so bad for so long? Well, I'm going to talk about the bullish argument for gold. And I'm not a big gold person, as Justin knows. I am not, but there's a bullish argument here. And the market, will it push to new highs? Will it? Why will it? What will make that happen? What makes us believe it will happen? What makes people believe it won't happen? So I want to discuss that. Maybe Justin and I will take opposite points of view,
Okay.
okay, on that topic. So those are things we're going to talk about here. But of course, you always come first, whatever is on your mind. I don't, again, we have our webinar tonight, so I'm kind of excited about that. I think it's going to be a pretty good webinar. I'm hoping we can squeeze all this in an hour. As I'm reading through this again this afternoon, Justin, I'm saying,
We'll
man,
make it happen.
How are we going
We'll
to
make it
squeeze?
happen.
We're going to have to talk awful fast.
Yeah.
Awful fast, because there's a lot of good information. One thing is good, though. The webinars will eventually be, you can review it anytime. We'll have it on our website. If you're an InvestTalk Insider, you'll be able to see it.
But then you won't be able to ask questions. You'll be able to ask questions if you if you are attending live, and hopefully we can answer some good ones.
Yeah, so it really would be wise. And make sure we have limited slots, everybody, because you buy so many slots, and we think we bought enough, but may not, because there was a lot of interest in this one. So looking at my retirement review schedule, I'll be meeting with individual listeners, looking over their retirement documents and making some suggestions. Hopefully I can develop a retirement map using our new software we've been talking about. My next date in La Jolla, San Diego County, is December 2nd. That's in San Ramon in Northern California on December 9th. Those are the no cost, no obligation, informal meetings that I do, you know, several times a month. You can reserve your hour by clicking on schedule a meeting on investtalk.com.
Hello, Steve and Justin. This is Bobby from Atlanta. What do you guys think Atwood OceanX? The ticker symbol is A as in Apple, T as a Tom, W as a William. What's a good entry point to this? Thank you. Bye.
Okay, this is a driller engaged in headquarters in Houston, engaged in international offshore contract drilling and completion exploratory and developmental oil and gas wells. It's a billion-dollar company, so it's a small cap. And they have been making money year after year after year, except for next fiscal year of theirs, they're going to lose 3 cents a share. Before that, they made lots of money. Sales are still growing, which is surprising, actually.
Yeah, it is.
And so I'm not sure why they're going to be losing money when they're growing their sales. And they pay a pretty high dividend of 6.1%, which...
My guess is I'm looking at earnings. So for this year, it's supposed to make $7.71 a share. That's an all-time high, even though price of oil is down so much. Yeah. Next year, earnings are supposed to fall 53% to $3.65 a share. And then, like you said, 2017, they're supposed to lose 3 cents. So what that's telling me, highly likely, is that they're going to have a lot of contracts that are coming up, right? Because
expiring
contracts, yeah. Exactly. So that's the only explanation of why they would still be making money this year. Because not making more, money next year.
It's the only explanation you can think of. Because they're not going to make money. So what's going to happen?
Yeah. So based on today's earnings of 7.71, the P/E ratio is 2. Yeah. That's super cheap.
Yeah.
But you always have to look and always invest in the windshield, not the rearview mirror. And 2015 is in the rearview mirror, and $3.65 is in the windshield, and then losing money in 2017. So.
So that's why the stock has fallen so hard.
Yeah.
It's at a $16.40 rate right now, and I'm not sure how they're going to keep up that dividend of 6%.
Yeah. Well, if they can, they're paying $1 a share, right? But if they're going to lose 3 cents a share in 2017, obviously now they're going to have to come into trouble. Their debt levels are still pretty low, so that's good. Mm-hmm. It's trading at half of book value, so that's good. I think it's cheap. The what you have to think of is long term. Where is oil going? If oil can get back to $75, $80 a barrel or higher and sustain that within the next 3-4 years, I think this will be good, and this is a good low price.
Right.
But if oil stays down here around $40, $50, maybe even $60 a barrel, deep water oil, offshore oil drilling is not going to be profitable.
Yeah.
And the Atwood Oceanix, along with Transocean and all these offshore oil drillers, are going to have trouble long term. So yeah, it's up to your thesis.
Yeah. I'm not really that interested. He said he wanted an entry point, buy point, and probably very close to it now.
Making a higher high now, and it looks pretty good, and the oil sector starting to kind of come back a little bit, looks like.
But you are going to be rolling the dice pretty heavily.
Yeah, very high risk.
Our Invest Talk anytime number is 888-99-CHART. Can you say that your retirement portfolio today truly reflects your risk tolerance? One way to determine that is to use our free risk analysis tool. It's there for you, ready right now at investtalk.com. It's very easy to use. I'm Steve Peasley with Justin Klein, and we're ready to talk to you at 888-99-CHART.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. India may seem obscure, but look again. You'll find the same things you would expect to find in any promising market. The Indian stock market. Worth a second look. That's our talking point. For Thursday's podcast, we hope you'll join us then.
888-992-4278. We're ready for your questions whenever you have them. As long as it's financial, we'll be happy to talk to you. leaving money on the table. So what do you do? What can you do? What should you do? First of all, you should pay off. Well, maybe the first thing you do is take a look at your company benefits. Your first effort should be collecting anything your employer is going to pay you if he matches your 401k contributions.
Yeah.
Why would you not do that?
And we talk about that a lot, but another aspect of company benefits that many overlook are FSA accounts, the flexible spending accounts for medical expenses. And a lot of times employers will match that as well. So make sure you look at that and take advantage of that. And that's something you can build over time. So if you ever have to have a surgery or anything major, you have that to access.
Second thing is pay off high interest debt first. High interest rate debt. No, that's credit cards basically.
Yeah, and this is but it could be other things. I know people that have car loans that are in double-digit percentage.
Rate. Really?
Yeah, I mean, they have poor credit. That's why.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. Or maybe they just got it a long time ago and didn't refinance or whatever. But the main thing is, and we talk about this, and you talk about this with clients, some potential clients, you ask them their financial situation. How much money do they have in all their investment accounts? But also, what's your mortgage? And do you have any other debts? And you always say, if they do have any other debts beyond mortgage, you always tell them to pay them off, right?
Right. Yeah. I do. Yeah.
Even a car loan.
Yeah. Even the car loan.
Yeah.
Remember, when you're moving toward mortgage, you want to be an interest collector, not an interest payer. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, a lot of people don't pay attention to this, but you need to bundle your insurance coverages, your auto coverage, your house coverage, bundle them and under one carrier. You'll get discounts. And then buy umbrella policy to get higher limits. Don't raise the limits on the underlying policies, the auto policy, the homeowners. Buy a lower limit and then buy an umbrella on top of that. You'd be surprised how much money you can save by doing that.
And remember, everybody, Steve was in the insurance industry for a couple decades plus, so he kind of understands how to work the system, would you say?
Yeah, you get a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
A lot cheaper. Yeah. And one more final point, plan your purchases. Mm-hmm. Don't be I see it on TV, I'm going to go buy it.
An impulse shopper.
Yeah. No.
Especially when it's over $100, $100.
Plan it. Yeah. Certain things, and it's in our newsletter every so often, we talk about what items are best to buy at what time of the year, like automobiles. Mm-hmm. There's a certain time of the year to buy them, you know, because of the new models coming out, and they have the old models they need to sell.
I bought my recent car the last day of the year. Very last day.
Yeah. You didn't buy the newer year model or the older model? The year you're in?
It was...
The model of the year you're in or the model for next year?
It was the next year model.
Yeah. You could have saved some money buying last year.
I got a good deal. Yeah, got a good deal. Uh-huh.
It's our 24-hour, 7 days a week number, everybody. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach us and ask any question you want as long as it's financial.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve and Justin. This is Ray calling from Brea. Justin was talking in regards to date funds the other day, and my question is, the date funds, such as the Fidelity date fund, that invests in other funds held by Fidelity, do you incur the management fees from the additional funds held in the additional Fidelity funds as well as the date fund that you invest in? So I guess my question is, are they able to double dip their expenses out of your investments? I'll be listening on the podcast. Thanks.
He's talking about targeted funds.
Yeah, okay. they don't double dip on their funds, but they do. It's a very ancestral relationship, and that's one reason why these fund companies love targeted funds is because they get 401k participants usually to put all of their money into that particular targeted fund. So he's talking about Fidelity, for example. Mm-hmm. And Fidelity puts all of their all of those assets into all the various Fidelity funds to make up that target dated fund, right? A little bit in an equity, this type of equity fund, this bond fund, etc. And they create a portfolio. And they love it because they get all the assets. Where normally in a 401k, they might just have a few of the mutual funds within that 401k.
They also love it because the idea in your mind as an investor, it's a psychological, mm-hmm. that you're going to leave it alone until that date is reached. Mm-hmm. Okay? So they love it when it's left alone for a long-term period of time. Yeah. because they can use that as assets to borrow and buy something else.
Yeah, and they think it's set it and forget it, and that's what most people do. And for some people, it's appropriate. But the problem is this is the biggest problem with targeted funds, and studies have borne this out, is that, and we know this from being mutual fund investors, investing in mutual funds for some of our clients, that no fund family is good at everything. No fund family has the best bond fund and the best foreign equity fund and the best small cap fund. They might have a few good ones overall, but no fund family is great at all. So it's best to have a targeted fund that can go anywhere into multiple fund families.
We didn't talk about it, but briefly, the market was up big today, 247 points on the Dow, 89 points on the NASDAQ, and 33 points on the S&P, and all because the minutes came out after the Fed. Kind of interesting. And the minutes were kind of pointing to a Fed rate hike.
Yeah, which was kind of shocking why the market rallied. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see if it'll continue that tomorrow.
Yeah. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up next in the next half hour, Show Me the Money, how to use a company's financial statement to learn virtual information about them. That's coming up on Invest Talk 101. Do you have a money question? Give me a call.
This is Invest Talk for Wednesday, November 18th. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now. Is it time to put your money where your mouth is? 45% of respondents told survey takers that cable TV is a waste of money, but 81% of them admitted to being paying customers. And now, more Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Daniel in Palo Alto. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hey, Steve. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
1220 every day.
Thank you.
I just had a quick question about commodities, and I'm short Alcoa. I've lost a little bit of money. I'm just tempted to hang in there. Just wondered what you thought about symbol AA and just commodities in general, gold, copper.
Okay. Commodities in general, I think they're bottoming, meaning you don't want to be short them necessarily. That's an in general question answer, okay? Overall, doesn't mean there won't be other things that are suffering. Now, specifically Alcoa, symbol AA, that looks like it's bottoming too to me. Doesn't mean it can't go lower.
Yeah, and maybe the bottoming process might take longer.
Yeah.
You know, it might take another 6 months. It could just bounce around here. It's so low. I'm just wondering, when did you short it? How are you down on it so far already?
It's only been about a week. I didn't put that much into it, but I'm still down about 5% or so.
Yeah.
I think you get out of the short.
Yeah.
At this time of the year, it's an $8 stock. Mm-hmm. And I think
This is a stock that was $48 back in 2007. So, and it was just last year, it was at double what it is today. So, you're shorting way too late. Could it continue down? Sure. But the risk reward in the short to medium term, I think is to the upside.
Yeah. Yeah. They're make money. They're making 60 cents, 61 cents next year. It's an $8 stock.
We're near maximum pessimism in commodities. If we're not there, we're probably close to it.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a high probability, Daniel.
Yep.
I hear you. And for commodities also in general.
In general, yes. Yep. I think they've been beat up so much, they're probably more closer to the bottom than anything else.
Yep.
Okay?
I understand. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate the call. Let's go to James in New York. How are you doing, James?
I'm good, Steve. How are you tonight?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yes, of course. I wanted to know, I talked to you a couple weeks ago, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, about Mattel, ticker symbol MAT. And I got in at Mattel and bought it at about $25.25. And just as from an expectation standpoint for myself, I was wondering maybe where it might go from here on to the end of the year. Might we see it at 28, maybe 30, possibly just wanted to get maybe a realistic expectation for myself, having bought it at 25 and a quarter.
Mattel, everybody. I think everybody knows who Mattel is. It makes toys worldwide, and it's a pretty decent-sized toy maker, $8.2 billion size. The problem we have is sales have been falling pretty consistently.
Yeah, but he's kind of asking for kind of year-end target, year-end expectations. I think 30 is absolute max. It's going to have a tough time getting above that. Now, it's had a nice reversal. It's retested it. You know, it's odd. It's down the day after the market was up pretty nicely. I would say, let me take a quick look at this.
It's going to be tough to get to 30. 27, 27 and a half. Might be more realistic.
Yeah. I think that's about, there's going to be a lot of resistance in that area. I mean, are you looking for this as a trade, long-term hold? What are you thinking with this, James?
I'm thinking about keeping it for a trade, like a short term. I bought it like in late October, and I was hoping to maybe sell it by, I don't know, mid-December, or I don't know if it's possible for it to go up to like 28 by then, or... You know, at the end of the year type of a...
Yeah, you're looking for the Christmas rally and the Mattel to go with it because of the holidays, selling toys and those kinds of things. I understand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't love it. I mean, there's not limited upside. It's a company that's struggling. It's cheap. So, you know, if I'm going to say I'm going to buy Mattel, I'm buying Mattel for the long term because of how cheap it is, the dividend, the history of the company, and the fact that, you know, they have good brands that they are, while they're struggling, they can revive them as a turnaround play. From a technical perspective, because that's what you're looking at, really. It doesn't matter what the fundamentals are. If you're just looking for a trade till the end of the year, I don't love it, especially after today. Down 36 cents, it's over 1% on a day when the market was strong.
Yeah.
Why is that? So
it's a little disappointing.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it can happen, but it doesn't make – I'm not that encouraged with it.
Yeah. You'll be lucky, I think, James.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Probably didn't want to hear that. I'm sorry, but – From a technical, looking at a chart, it's why didn't it bow up today? The market was up today. Why didn't it follow everybody else? What something's different there?
Yeah.
Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, good, Steve. How you doing?
Thanks for the call. Doing great.
Do you guys think, you know, Falls Holding, IPHS, is on sale right now?
IPHS, Inapos Holdings. Out of New Jersey, manufactures specialty phosphates for the food and beverage, dietary supplements, and industrial markets. It's a very small company. Very small.
And yes, it is on sale. The question is it on sale enough? That's really the question. Yields about 6.4%, but revenues have been falling, not dramatically, you know, mid-single digits for the past couple years. Earnings have been kind of fluctuating, you know, nothing dramatic drop, not a lot of growth either. Modest amount of debt, that's great. Return equity 15%. But my question is, why is it down so much? It went from 60 to 30 in the span of 6 months. And do you have any insight of why that might be?
No, I was trying to find information to why this big drop, and I could not find any significant data or information. So I don't know, honestly.
Because just in the last week or two, it fell pretty hard.
Yeah, probably had earnings earlier this month, and that was when it was at 43. Now it's at 30. So, yes, it's on sale. Is it on sale enough, I think, is really your question.
I think you got to wait.
Yeah.
I think it's too soon.
There's nothing me that's telling me that this has bottomed, and I think it can probably go low. Now, it's at support. It is at a lot of support right here at about 28.87. So technically, yes, it's at support. But that support could likely be short-term. And that's really the big worry is I want to know a deeper story. You know, I need more than just, okay, it's technically at support. It is cheap, but why is it falling so much? What is the issue here? And is this structural? Is it something that's going to – because to me, that's what it seems like. Something that falls this much when the fundamentals aren't terrible. You know, their revenue is down 4% year over year. That's not dramatic. Now, earnings are down 66%.
Yeah, I can't find, just quickly, I was trying to read the news, Justin, trying to find a reason. It's not telling us, just telling us how much it's fallen in the last week, 2 weeks, month.
Yeah.
It's not telling me why. Something, when that happens, my red flag is wagging. Something's wrong.
It's definitely high risk. Now, like I said, the positives are that the dividend yield 6.4%. That seems, I wouldn't say that, it seems pretty safe. At least for now.
Based on the price of the stock, it should be.
Yeah, but its payout ratio is near about 100. But they have low debt, so they could keep it for a little while. So it's high risk. It's at a lot of support. It is cheap, but I would have a stop on it. If it breaks below, I'd have like a 10% trailing stop. If it breaks below 27, I'm out.
Okay. Bobby, appreciate the call. IPHS. Thank you. Infos Holdings. Infos Holdings. 888-99-CHART. Okay, today we had housing starts out. This is where new construction. It's all about new construction. Yep. Housing starts. It was a little disappointing.
Down 11%.
Down 11% from the month before. 1.15 million annual rate. Mm-hmm. It was expected to be 1.19 million annual rate. And it did. I'm sorry. Wrong. Race. It's 1.06. It was expected to be 1.1. So that's down about 10, 11%. Mm-hmm. It was 1.1 the month before, almost 1.2. Yeah. Why? Well, almost all of it was attributed to the South, which was down 18%. Hmm. Why? Because there was a lot of flooding, and it stopped a lot of projects from getting started.
So how were the rest of the regions?
The rest of the regions were almost on target.
Gotcha.
And one of the problems is the South makes up about 50% of the starts last month. Mm. So it was a big portion of it too. Mm. Now, the thing, that's a lagging economic indicator. You want to really look at the leading economic indicator. And this report has a leading economic indicator component to it. And that's permits.
Yeah, and that was up about 4%.
Correct. To 1.1 million annual rate. So that was a good sign. Mm-hmm.
And okay. Building permits are important because remember, this is planning, and why they are leading indicators is if you're thinking about building homes, you need to apply for permits and build a building permit. And doesn't mean that all the building permits come to fruition. They actually do start building, you know, using those permits and building, but it's an indication that at least they're planning and they can, you know, get it going at any time.
Exactly. You helped pick the topic, so why not join us this evening for our November 18th webinar, Building a Strong Portfolio with Less Risk and Finding Strong Dividend-Paying Stocks. That's tonight at 6:30 p.m. Pacific Time. It's a one-hour free webinar. You have to register. To do that, just go to investtalk.com.
InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial. Look at the Select Growth and Income Program, handpicked mutual funds for flexibility, strength, and diversity. To find out more about any of the KPP investment programs, click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
Hi, it's Ross from the UK. I've got a question about an ETF. It's the XLB ETF, the basic materials one. That's X for X-ray, L for Lima, B for Berlin. I just wondered what you thought about this ETF at the moment, whether it's worthwhile investing in it at its current price. I'm really enjoying the show. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, this is the XLB is the exchange-traded fund seeking the performance corresponding to the S&P Materials Select Sector Index.
And its top five holdings are DuPont, Dow Chemical, Monsanto, LyondellBasell, and Praxair. So a lot of them are chemical companies. Is really what you're investing in mainly.
And what are the input what are the input product for making chemicals?
Usually oil.
And oil is cheap. Uh-huh. So that's positive for this sector as long as oil stays cheap. So it's been coming off its bottom. It had a bottom in October, August, and then October. And interesting is the one in October is lower than the one in August, unlike the stock market itself. Mm-hmm. Is it a good time to buy? Is it something? Well,
it has rallied, but it's still in that downtrend. It's below the 200-day moving average. It's now above the 100-day moving average, which is positive. But the long-term moving averages are still pointing down. So I'm still not in the camp that this is very bullish. I would say I'm neutral on it. I don't love it. I don't hate
it. You might get a bump up to $50 a share or so, which is where a lot of resistance starts to come in, a lot.
Yeah.
But it would be, you know, it's also it's not my favorite thing to get in right now either.
I would look for, you know, we just talked about the top five holdings. I would go to Morningstar.com, and you can see the list of the top 25 holdings. And I would look at those companies and figure out, do I want to be in a chemical company? Do I want to be in Sherwin-Williams, which makes paint? Do I want to be in Alcoa that makes, we talked about earlier, that makes aluminum? So, and there's all types of
or
of
a mining company.
Yeah, mining company. So I would be a little more targeted with what I'm looking at.
888-99 chart, the bullish argument for gold. For gold. Remember, it's been beaten up. It's not doing very well. Everybody kind of hates it at this point. Well, that kind of is a bullish argument right there when everybody hates something. Mm-hmm. But it looks like it's double bottom too. It looks like it's put in a double bottom, and that's, technically speaking, that's kind of bullish. Mm-hmm. Especially if you look at the GDX, which is the gold miners index.
Yeah. And I actually, that's was going to be my argument, is usually the GDX, the gold miners, lead. And GDX hasn't made a new low. Where gold did make a new low, GDX has not made a new low. And it actually had a pretty decent reversal today after high volume sell-off yesterday. So was yesterday capitulation? You know, that's certainly could be possible.
Another argument would be that raising rates is very negative for gold. Mm-hmm. And when the Fed last had its meeting, that's when gold turned over and dollar went up. Dollar goes up, gold goes down. That's usually been the relationship normally recently. Mm-hmm. And that's already built in.
Yeah.
Is it
buy the rumor, sell the news type of thing?
So if the Fed in the next meeting raises rates, it's already built in. Let's say they don't do anything. Let's say they just surprise everyone and don't do anything. What do you think that's going to do to the dollar? And what do you think the gold will do? Gold will go up if the dollar goes down. Mm-hmm. So no matter what the Fed does, it's already built in.
Yeah. And the expectations based on where the dollar's at is that the Fed is going to get to around 3%, 2.5%, 3% in the Fed funds rate within the next couple of years, which I don't see as possible.
And higher rates don't necessarily mean, by the way, a falling gold price. Did you know that? Not necessarily. You go look at history. Mm-mm. It can go up. Gold can go up when rates raise. And finally, real quick, the real interest rate, even if the Fed raises it, is still below inflation. That's bullish for gold. So those are the bullish arguments for gold. 888-99-CHARTS, how you reach me right now. Reach Justin and I if you want to talk, ask a question. You're listening to Invest Talk. We're moving into the last segment of the show. You can reserve your time. I'm going to be meeting people in California. You can reserve your time by going to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. Or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts.
Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Steve and Justin would like to hear your ideas for topics as we talk about spending and investing on investtalk.com. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin and give us your ideas.
888-992-4278, time for Invest Talk 101. Show me the money. A company's statements are a primary source of information. There are four main financial statements. They are balance sheet, income statements, cash flow statements, and statements of shareholders' equity. Four main financial statements. Balance sheets show what a company owns and what it owes at a fixed point in time. Income statements show how much money a company made and spent over a period of time. Cash flow statements show the exchange of money between the company and the outside world, also over a period of time. And the fourth financial statement, called the Statement of Shareholders' Equity, that shows changes in the interests of the company's shareholders over time. Now, probably most people don't look at these. That would be what I would think.
No, they simply look at certain aspects, certain numbers that come out of these statements. But what is more important a lot of times is how those numbers come about. For example, earnings. Earnings can be manipulated based, and that's manipulated how? It's in the income statement. How are our revenues accounted for, expenses accounted for?
I'll give you an instance. For instance, when a company sells a bunch of products to a wholesaler, does that mean that they get to book that money then, right then? Because it's not really sold to the ultimate end user. What if it comes back? What if the product doesn't sell?
And there's been a lot of companies that have gotten in trouble like that because they are counting that as revenue, but much of it is being returned because their distributors, middlemen, can't sell it.
And so it comes back on a future statement.
Mm-hmm.
It can get confusing. No one financial statement, by the way, tells the whole story. It doesn't. You've got to put them all together. And it can be very time-consuming and confusing sometimes.
Yeah, but it's important for everybody to really understand what those figures mean and how they're derived. Otherwise, and every industry is a little different as well. You know, it's a service industry is much different than a manufacturing industry and what you have to look for and think about.
That's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in with us, 888-99-CHART. Or you can make a personal note. You can type a personal note to me or Justin. Either click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin on InvestTalk.com.
Hi, Steve or Justin. It's Amanda calling from Melbourne in Australia. I just was after your opinion on a couple of stocks. The code is BEN. Franklin Resources, Inc., investigating that at the moment. And the other one is RGR, Sturm, Ruger and Co. I listen every day to the podcast, and I'll look forward to your comments on those two stocks. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you very much for listening to us. We really appreciate all our podcast listeners. Franklin Resources, BEN, B as in boy, EN, provides investment management and fund administration services to the investment companies and institution accounts everywhere.
Yeah, mainly this is Franklin Templeton Investments is really what their main business is.
And they're a $25 billion company. That's not small. It's a large cap company. And I'll say this, their earnings have been down 7% this year. They're going to be down 7% in 2016. 2015, they were down also. And now rebound to $3.24, up 6% next year. At least that's what the estimate is. Mm-hmm. It's not overpriced.
Yeah, low debt ratio. I like that. Good cash flow. That's solid. The biggest question here is, you know, they're mutual fund providers. So if more people are putting money into mutual funds, equity funds, bond funds, etc., then they're going to do well. But if we go into a bear market, then we're not going to do so well. So to me, it's a cheap company. Their cash flows are good. The fundamentals are attractive. But if you go into a bear market, this is going to continue to go down. So if you think we're going to go in the bull market, go for it. If you think, you know, we're probably topping and heading to a bear market, then I would stay away from it.
Sorry, couldn't get to the other stock, RGR. Maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Give us a call. Our hour's up, but we're not done for the day. Justin and I aren't, at least, and hopefully you aren't either. We'll talk to you again this evening at 6:30. It's free webinar starting at 6:30 sharp. You can still sign up on investtalk.com. And there's a limited number of slots. I'm registered investment advisor Steve Peasley with Justin Klein. And for everyone at KPP Financial, thank you for listening today, and join us again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.